Amen. Well, the Celtic Way is a powerful pathway of Christian spirituality that has inspired and informed Christians for 1,000 years or more. And it all began with the story of a 16-year-old boy from Britain named Patricius, who was kidnapped by marauders who took him on their ship to Ireland and sold him into slavery to a Druid overlord. He was there 6 long years, and he says in his writings later on that for most of those 6 years, he prayed day and night for God's help. And that's interesting because prior to that time, he really wasn't much into prayer or faith or God, though his parents had taught him about the Christian God. Patricius tells the story of how one day, miraculously, he says, he felt led by God that it was time to escape, and he ran down to the seashore, and there was an ocean-going vessel, he thought, sent just for him. He boarded the ship and sailed back to England, back to Britain, and in Britain, he felt a calling. Two parts to that calling, a calling to love and serve the God who had spared his life, and a calling to prepare for ministry and perhaps go back to Ireland as one of the first ever missionaries. Well, we know the rest of the story. Patricius obeyed the calling, prepared for ministry, about 10 years later, went back to Ireland, and God did a miracle. The Celtic people, prior to that time, had been considered almost impossible to reach. Barbaric, violent, practitioners of human sacrifice. And within about 35 years, the ministry God gave Patrick, his new name, had utterly transformed those people. And within 100 years after Patrick's death, the Celtic people were known for their Christian spirituality, for their beautiful music, for their artistry, for their love of one another, and their fierce passion to share the light of Christ with others. Historian Thomas Cahill says the Irish saved civilization. An interesting take on it. Because at the same time, the light of Christ was growing brighter and brighter in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. In the rest of Europe, it was growing darker. It was descending into what we now call the Dark Ages. And so God, sovereignly by his Spirit, inspired the Celtic Christians to preserve his word, to practice a kind of spiritual discipline and insight that transformed their culture, and in more recent years has connected with a lot of us who follow Jesus. Because the question is, not just do you love Jesus, but are you a passionate follower of his? Are you growing deeper and stronger in your faith? And is there anything God would want to teach you today that might take you deeper, farther into that walk with God? Well, I mentioned earlier there are 4 aspects of the Celtic Way that have spoken to me. The first has to do with discovering God in his creation. Not just a walk in the park or a day at the beach, but a deliberate, intentional exploration of how nature reveals the character of God. Theologians call it general revelation. But the Celtic Christians took it further into special revelation, seeing the hand of God, the presence of God. Discover and worship God as creation's creator. Psalm 19, some of us know it well, how clearly the sky reflects God's glory, how plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. Would you read this out loud with me? No speech or words are used. No sound is heard, yet their message goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. When Patrick arrived in Ireland for the second time, he already knew how attached these people were to the soil, the sky, and the sea. So what better way to introduce them to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ than to point to him all around them? We know the Bible is filled with a multitude of images of how creation reflects its creator. Rocks, mountains, seas, streams, birds, even cattle are reasons to praise the Lord. They point us to him. We see in the grandeur of the mountains our grand God, in the power of the waves and the expanse of the seas, the wideness of God's mercy, the brilliance of the stars and the patterns in space, a God of order and design. I'm excited because this week is the Perseids meteor showers, and I'm going to be out there at 11 o'clock on Tuesday and Wednesday looking for shooting stars. So I went out last night to scout out the perfect space. And guess what? There were stars up there last night. There's stars up there every night. They are amazing. They are beautiful and brilliant. They remind us of our Almighty God. So the question is, when was the last time you deliberately explored some aspect of creation and said, God, would you meet me in this moment? Would this experience of being in the wonders of what you have made help me to love you more, to be amazed at who you are? So we're going to sing about it and use some of the Celtic music to walk us down the Celtic way, because this is our Father's world, isn't it?
Me in the fall.
beautiful. Creator God, who breathed this world into being, who is discernible within the harmony of nature, the perfection of a butterfly's wings, the grandeur of a mountain range, the soaring eagle and hummingbird, thank you for this world you have created. Open our eyes to you as we walk through this world, feel the wind and the sunshine, see the majesty of creation unfolding before our eyes. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name. Then the Celts focused on and embraced the mystery of the Trinity. Patrick taught the Celtic Christians to think of God as three in one. Almost every Celtic hymn or song or prayer is enthusiastically Trinitarian. Newborn Celtic babies were blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, the scriptures teach us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How did the Celt say it? Three folds of the cloth, yet only one napkin. Three joints in the finger, yet only one finger fair. Three leaves in the shamrock, yet one shamrock to wear. Three persons in God, to one God, we make our prayer. I am bending my knee in the eye of the Father who created me, in the eye of the Son who purchased me, in the eye of the Spirit who cleanses me. I don't know about you, but most often I think of prayers that end with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as kind of formal. We say them at special occasions. We close out a funeral or a wedding or some formal gathering with a Trinitarian prayer. Most prayers are, you know, in Jesus' name is good enough. But when I traveled to the Middle East and met our brothers and sisters in Christ there, I was surprised that they use the Orthodox form. They end almost every prayer with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they even cross themselves using the Orthodox cross, right to left, so they end over their heart. Scandalized me at first. I didn't grow up with crossing myself. But guess what? I survived. It didn't hurt me at all. Didn't damage my faith, didn't make me something I wasn't. It actually helped me think more about my prayer. Father, Creator, Source, Son, Savior, Redeemer, Spirit, Comforter, Guide, Three, One. You know, there's part of me that wants to figure it all out, right? To draw an equilateral triangle. To talk about an egg with the shell and the white and the yolk. To talk about H2O, you know, it's solid and it's liquid and it's vapor. But God is so much more than that, isn't he? There's mystery here. There's mystery here. And I love the fact that the Celtic Christians weren't afraid of mystery. When they talked about holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that was important to them. It was significant to them. It inspired them. Colossians chapter 2 puts it this way, then you'll have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of riches and knowledge are embedded in that mystery, and we have been shown the mystery. There is but one living and true God, the maker and preserver of all things. And in the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one in eternity, deity, and purpose, everlasting, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. And the Celtic way helps me to lean into that, stretches my mind, inspires my faith. And then they challenged me to enter the quiet. Did you ever have a time in the last year or so when you thought, you know, when I get a little more time, when things aren't quite so busy and so crazy, I want to get alone with God? And then came COVID-19. A gift we didn't want, but opportunity to step back, to change the pace, to be with our families, to spend time with God, to enter the quiet of our souls. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes our lives are filled with so much ambient noise running in the background, it's hard to hear the still, small voice of God. We all love those opening verses of the 23rd Psalm. I think we have them here. Let's read them together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Anybody need a refreshed soul? Our souls are refreshed when we make time, carve it out, and make it happen to be less busy and more purposeful, more present, more deliberate, more attentive to the Lord who is with us every moment of every day. Often the most effective way to solve a pressing problem is to bring it to God in a quiet place and wait on Him. To live a spiritual life, we must first find the courage to enter into the desert of our loneliness and to change it by gentle and persistent effort into a garden of solitude. Big difference. The movement from loneliness to solitude, however, is the beginning of any spiritual life, as it is the movement from the restless to the restful. So said Henri Nouwen. The Celtic Christians lived it. They planned regular times to go into the wild and be alone with Almighty God. I went to a spiritual retreat years ago with Ruth Haley Barton, and she told the wonderful story of Parker Palmer, the Quaker author, who says, if you want your soul to come out of hiding and experience its presence, you got to remember, it's sort of like a timid animal that if you go crashing around and calling its name is only going to run further away. And in order to experience that, you need to sit quietly and wait for it to come to you and reveal itself. I don't think that's some New Age theology. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. It's God's presence meeting us in the moment when we settle in and settle down. So let me ask you, when's the last time you made some quality time to quiet your heart, to be still and know that God is God? A half a day, once a month, a whole day or two, deliberately once a year, to say, God, I'm going to push back the craziness and settle into the quietness. That's a gift from the Celtic way. And then the last thing, I think the thing I love the most and has had the biggest impact on my life is everyday spirituality. They would pray, I wash my face with a palm full of the Father and a palm full of the Son and a palm full of the Holy Spirit. Now that's a good way to start your day. You know, I start my fire, I kindle this fire in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I do my work today. I feed the cattle. I go to the fields in the presence, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How about you? I type on this keyboard in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I watch this TV program in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would that be good for you? Right? Everything I do each day can be done in the presence of and for the glory of Almighty God. That can be transformational. It can change the way you do your work, the way you live your everyday life. Colossians chapter 3 says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, and whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Romans chapter 12. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best you can do for Him. I love that. I'm practicing that. I'm trying to lean into that. I make my bed in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, that's two good things. I make my bed, and I do it with the presence of God. Christ with me sleeping, Christ with me waking, Christ with me watching every day and every night. I lie down this night with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lies down with me. I lie down with the three whom I love, and the three whom I love lie down with me. Be with us, Lord, in our working and our resting and our laughing and our crying and our traveling and our staying. Abide with me each day. So, Lord, as I make my coffee this morning, put some holy caffeine in my soul. As I drive to work this day, may you go to work with me deep in who I am. As I surf the web, may I surf the web in your holy presence. As I coach my team, as I make this sale, as I deal with my spouse, as I parent my children, as I respond to the boss, I do it in the presence of the Savior, in the light of the Father, with the help of the Spirit. The Celtic way isn't just a curiosity to be observed, it's a pathway to be explored. God can teach us and help us and grow us to not stay stuck wherever we are, but to press in with Him, to try something new, to blow the dust off your spiritual practice. What would that look like for you? Time spent in the next few days, this week, exploring some aspect of God's presence as you spend time enjoying His creation. Time spent contemplating the mystery of the Trinity and allowing the mystery of the Trinity to penetrate your soul. Entering deeply into a meaningful, deliberate experience of silence and solitude so that it goes from just being alone to experiencing God. Inviting Jesus to be with you in the everyday moment of every day. The thing I love about the Celtic way is that practicing this made them fierce. Think about it. Think about it. These people risked their lives on a daily basis to push back the darkness of the Druid culture around them. They actually changed the course of history through these four steps and a few more. Patrick's mission succeeded beyond measure. Within his lifetime and soon after his death, the Irish slave trade came to a halt. And virtually every other violent expression that had been so commonplace among them, murder and sacrifice and tribal warfare, decreased and almost ceased completely. I think we could use some of that. Daring, courageous, fierce faith. You know, I am convinced that part of what's going on in our culture is that careless, compromised, casual Christians can't change the culture. It changes us. But as God makes us people of a fierce faith, a courageous calling, who love Jesus no matter what, with all we are, by God's grace, we too will change our world for the cause of Christ. So remember that prayer, the famous prayer, the most famous prayer, St. Patrick's prayer? We have a copy of it, and I'd like you to pray it out loud with me today as we draw to the close of our message. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak to me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to open before me, God's shield to defend me, God's host to deliver me from snares of devils, from evil temptations, from all who wish to harm me, far and near. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of all who think of me, Christ in the mouth of all who speak of me, Christ in the eyes of that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I arise. I rise today through a mighty strength, invoking the Trinity, believing in threeness, confessing the oneness of creation's creator. In all I do, may I bring glory to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. There's a variation on that prayer on the end of each row, and you're welcome to take those home and remember what God spoke to you today. And now we get to sing that prayer together, or listen as it's sung, and hum along.